I really recommend rolling to your side and sitting up at the side of the bed versus sitting straight up. Mm-hmm. It's something you had to do in pregnancy towards the end of the pregnancy, most likely. So you should be pretty used to it, but continue to do that for, I would say, 6 or so weeks after. Just because you're starting to feel better doesn't mean that you should automatically go back to the way you did things, because your body is still not quite ready for it.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kuhn. Welcome to the Juno Women Podcast, where I sit down for candid conversations with women who are experts in their field and share their specific knowledge so that we can become better equipped to handle all things motherhood. Juno Women is an extension of Juna, a fitness and nutrition app created to help guide you through your trying to conceive, pregnancy, and motherhood journey. Everything we do at Juna is designed to empower and support you through one of the most incredible and challenging times of your life. Today, I'm talking to Katie Hunter, a pelvic floor physical therapist in Southern California. Katie is a Juna advisor, as well as my own personal physical therapist. She has helped me tremendously in my own recovery after having children, and in this episode, we specifically talk all about how to recover and repair your pelvic floor after a C-section. I hope you enjoy. Katie, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Firstly, this podcast is going to be all about C-sections and how they relate to your pelvic floor. So with that, Katie, why don't you introduce yourself?
I am a pelvic floor physical therapist. I started my own private practice in Thousand Oaks, California, which is in Southern California, just outside of LA. So I specialize in treating anything pelvic and pelvic floor related, and have a special interest in treating pregnancy and postpartum recovery.
Yes. Okay. Very cool. Now that we got that out of the way. All right. Okay. So let's talk about C-sections. Let's start with the basic. What is happening when someone has a C-section? Like, there's obviously lots of things that are cut, and how does that relate to the pelvic floor?
Generally in a C-section, the OB surgeon is cutting through the abdominal wall for you to deliver the baby. So in doing that, they cut through 5 layers of tissue, including fascia that involves 3 out of 4 of the muscles that make up the abdominal wall. So during C-section recovery, and how this relates to the pelvic floor, is the ab muscles naturally turn off during that healing process. And this is after 40-ish weeks of the abs stretching and already being difficult to be used during pregnancy. Then in that initial recovery period, the abs completely turn off. And so what that does is it puts more of the load and the stress on the pelvic floor muscles to continue to stabilize the pelvis, support the organs, and help you move, walk, and take care of your newborn baby. So that's how they are related to the pelvic floor. The abs and the pelvic floor are both part of our core.
Okay. We should also back up a little bit, mm-hmm. and maybe you can just talk about, because you briefly mentioned it, but there's a lot of stress that happens to your pelvic floor during pregnancy. So maybe just tee us up for what the shape our pelvic floor is in at the very end of our pregnancy.
Mm, yeah.
And what it's kind of got to do.
Yes. So during pregnancy, the pelvic floor in general protects the pelvis, supports the organs, and keeps the openings closed so that you don't lose control of bladder or bowels. So it's already has a huge role in how we function in everyday life. Then during pregnancy, you have the added weight of the baby, the added weight of the uterus, all putting a lot of pressure on the pelvic floor. And our joints, particularly the joints of the pelvis, become lax and loose. So our muscles have to work harder to keep the joints stable. And that also includes the pelvic floor. And so tying in our core and our abs, the abs are stretching tremendously to help accommodate for your growing baby and uterus. And that's just another reason why the pelvic floor is working so much harder to stabilize and hold you together, basically. So that's all leading up to pregnancy. And then if a person is to have a vaginal delivery, the pelvic floor goes through this major stretch and then requires more pelvic floor recovery. During a C-section, the pelvic floor doesn't go through that same stretch. And on top of that, your abs are more impacted by delivery. And that just leads to more work on the pelvic floor that has already been taking on so much stress throughout the 40 weeks of pregnancy.
Which is more stressful for the pelvic floor, having a vaginal birth, like a grade 2 tear, uh-huh, or having a C-section birth? Ugh. Just different.
Totally different. Yeah, I would say they're both a lot of work on the pelvic floor, because you're either taking a muscle that's been working really hard to compensate for other muscles throughout pregnancy that is now working even harder, mm-hmm, or you take a muscle that's been working really hard and is now going through a major stretch. And if there's a grade 2 or greater tear, is also recovering from an injury. So they're both really tough recoveries for the pelvic floor. I think it's just that for the everyday person, you assume, like, oh, vaginal delivery, your pelvic floor is erect. Whereas if you had a C-section, they're like, oh, your pelvic floor is fine. It's not, you don't need to worry about your pelvic floor, which is just not true.
Yeah, I know. I always find that so interesting when people who've had a C-section have been like, I don't know why I still have this problem. I had a C-section. And I'm like, yeah, because it's, you spent 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Your pelvic,
yeah,
floor is tired.
Yeah. And one of the biggest misconceptions is that a person's only going to experience pain during sex if they had a vaginal delivery, which is, yeah, absolutely not true.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're both recovering a lot.
I want to touch on painful sex later, but I want to go sequentially through the C-section, mm-hmm, stuff. So let's talk about C-section recovery. What does that look like?
So in the first few weeks after, I would say the first 2-ish weeks, the main thing that's happening is the scar is closing and healing. So during the first 2, 3, 4 weeks, depending on how the scar heals or if there's any complications along the way, your body's working really hard to close that incision, heal the skin, heal the deeper fascia, the uterus itself. And during that time, the scar itself, it's expected that it's going to be somewhat painful, mm-hmm, during that recovery, and movement is going to be painful, and movement is going to feel really difficult because your abs are totally numbing. They're healing. So that's the initial phase, is a lot on getting that incision to close. And then between the last, like, weeks 4 through 8, where that incision is now on the surface, looks healed, and may for some people be less painful, they start to feel a little bit more energy, like their strength is coming back, they can be a little bit more mobile. Or on the flip side, they notice, my scar is still really sensitive and I don't understand. All of my friends said they felt better by this time. So either one can happen in a normal recovery. Mm-hmm. But for those next 4 to 8 weeks, I'm still cautioning people who are ready to get back into exercise to wait, because it truly takes a full 8 to 10 weeks for those deeper incisions to heal.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood, with a 12-week trying to conceive plan and workouts, key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum, plus 6 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, infant sleep, sleep from 4 to 12 months, and starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing exercises, pelvic floor prep, daily tips, and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you are experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the App Store or go to juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download Juna today and get started. Now, back to the show. Okay, so your scar heals from the top layer, like your skin surface, inwards.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Not the other way around. I guess that makes sense.
Correct.
So yes. While it might look okay.
So on the surface, it's going to look healed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have had many of friends that have had C-sections. And I think like one of the first things that like doctors are looking for after you've had the C-section too is passing gas. Like, have you farted yet? Because that's a big milestone. Why is pooping and farting so painful after your C-section?
I really feel for people because I've seen it. And although I didn't have a C-section myself, I can really imagine what that's like. So the rectum sits behind the uterus, and actually where the colon ends and meets the rectum is positioned just behind the uterus. And so what happens as you pass stool or gas through the end of the colon into the rectum is it actually will expand and usually pushes the organs around it out of the way. So in that process, putting pressure on the organs, and if you think of an organ that was cut through, that can be very painful. And then on top of that, passing through the rectum and out of the pelvic floor, as you're already feeling pain because it's putting pressure on your healing uterus, naturally your pelvic floor is going to want to tense and guard.
Right.
And that will actually close the opening and make it even more difficult to pass gas. And now you have this trapped gas or stool in a higher portion of your rectum that's putting pressure on this organ that's healing. So that all combined can make it very painful and is just another stress on the pelvic floor.
Yeah. And not to mention adding to that, that most people are on pain medications that are constipating. And so
your
stool softeners are your friend.
Yes, for sure. Yes. And if you think, oh, I'm good, I don't need the stool softener anymore, you stop taking it and instantly you're having more difficult bowel movements. There is no harm in taking them for as long as you need.
Yeah. Exactly. Just keep on taking them. Exactly. Don't be a hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what is your thoughts on belly binders for C-sections?
I love them. I think belly binding is great. It's going to hold the abdominal wall together in a way that your muscles can't naturally do on their own right now. I caution people if they start to feel pain or pressure in the pelvis. So belly binding really should be used only when you're upright and moving around, walking around the house, taking care of your baby. Otherwise, if you're sitting or resting and laying down, take it off because it's going to actually cinch the abdomen in a way that can potentially put pressure into the pelvis and more pressure on the pelvic floor.
So belly binder, when you're moving, needing support, but when you're resting, sitting, don't wear it.
Correct. Okay. And that'll help let the scar breathe.
And how long do you suggest wearing it for?
That's a good question. For muscle support and movement, I would say the first 6 weeks, assuming that healing is uncomplicated. If for some reason there have been other issues with the incision, that might push it out closer to 8 weeks. But for the first 6 weeks, as needed. So the first 4 weeks, I would expect a person to want to wear it constantly. And then between 4 and 6 weeks, they might start to feel like, hey, moving in and out of bed, getting out of a chair is starting to feel a little bit easier. I don't know that I need this binding anymore. And you start to take it off a little bit. But as you introduce things like walking around the house or in your neighborhood, longer distance walking, then you want to keep it on until you feel really secure. But the first 6 weeks.
Now, some of those surprising movements that women have after a C-section, I know that it is always really shocking. Oh my God, I started laughing or I coughed or I sneezed and holy shit, I thought I was going to split open. Do you have any tips for kind of managing those movements post C-section?
Definitely. Providing counter pressure on your abdomen will help a lot. If you can anticipate say you're sitting and maybe you've been coughing or sneezing more frequently than usual, have a pillow next to you, grab the pillow and basically hug it into your belly as you cough or as you sneeze. And that's going to help create counter pressures so that all of the force that's coming out with a cough or sneeze is the impact of that is being taken on by a pillow that you're holding. But if, yes, not just your body and your muscles that aren't working as well. If you are somewhere where you don't have a pillow, then you can use your hands and just apply counter pressure on your belly or over your scar if it's not too uncomfortable while you're coughing or sneezing.
What about those everyday movements, like getting out of bed, off the toilet? One of the harder ones is getting the baby out of the bassinet so you can nurse her in the middle of the night. I'm sure like most, it would be really nice if your partner could get up every single time and hand the baby to you, but that's obviously not always, that's a luxury not every person has.
For sure. So getting up and down, going through, get in and out of bed. I really recommend rolling to your side and sitting up at the side of the bed versus sitting straight up. Mm-hmm. It's something you had to do in pregnancy towards the end of the pregnancy, most likely. So you should be pretty used to it, but continue to do that for, I would say, 6 or so weeks after. Just because you're starting to feel better doesn't mean that you should automatically go back to the way you did things, because your body is still not quite ready for it. So rolling both to get out and back into bed, getting up and down from the toilet or out of a chair, the same thing. So if you're sitting back where you want to sit up, it's kind of a sit up motion, but you're going from a sitting position, would definitely use your arms or your hands to help you get up rather than using your core. And then when standing up, my biggest tip is to breathe out as you do it. It's going to help distribute the same kind of pressure and force so that it's not all being taken on by the incision in your abs. And it will help get a little natural engagement from the core muscles. So as you go to stand up or from the toilet or from a chair, breathe out as you stand up.
Okay. Got it.
And then the last thing was, getting baby out of the bassinet. Yes. I totally feel for those people in the middle of the night. It's so hard and your body is already exhausted. So your muscles aren't going to work as well. Getting your body as close to the bassinet as physically possible is going to help you bring, basically, as I'm calling the baby, the load is the weight that you're lifting. You want the load as close to your body as possible as you go to lift or stand up. So getting your body as close to the bassinet as you can, and then slowly bending down using your legs and your hips to get your body closer, pull the baby in towards your chest or towards your belly, and then stand up. Versus holding them way out away from your body, that's going to put more stress on your core.
And I feel like that exercise is like good for your crib when you're getting your baby out of the crib later, not just like C-section related, but like just good mommy mechanics.
Exactly. Yes. And I had one more tip, actually, getting up and downstairs, because that's another one for people with multi-story homes. Rather than taking steps the traditional way, just 1 foot at a time, turn your body so you're stepping up sideways.
Oh,
and you can actually use the handrail as a balancing tool as you're going up sideways. That'll help the scar too.
Yes. Let's talk about scar desensitization and when you should start doing that and what it is.
So there's a mixed belief on scar desensitization. I mean, it works. I should say that it's a treatment style that will work. It's just when and if a person needs to do it.
Yeah.
Some recommend everybody do this, and some recommend that you only need to do it if the scar becomes dysfunctionally sensitive or painful.
Okay.
So in terms of that healing time frame, most of the healing should be done by the 6-week mark, but it's really around 12 weeks that I would expect people to be back to normal function. So somewhere between 6 and 12 weeks, if you notice that your scar is more sensitive with your clothing, the waistband of your underwear, even really light fabrics on the scar is really painful. Or like the strap of the seatbelt is really painful around the incision. And just looking at the healing time frame, it's been 6 weeks. I feel like I should be able to wear normal waisted underwear at this point? Why is this still really painful? Then desensitization is a great option. If you want to be really proactive, you're like, I'm not going to have a painful scar, then you can really start it within the first week or two, as long as the incision is healed at the surface so that you're not introducing any bacteria or anything into it. Then you can actually, what it is, you take different types of textures and you start with a soft fabric. So it can be a really soft cotton or a jersey or a silk. And you just take that really soft fabric and rub it on the scar to get your nerves used to there being touch to the scar area as that becomes comfortable. So you do that every day for a couple of minutes, just rubbing the soft fabric on there. As that becomes comfortable, you can start to introduce more textured fabrics. Before you were using a sheet, and now you're using a towel or a flannel or something. And then you can work your way up to things like wool, and you could start to introduce like—
eventually a metal scrub, right?
No, we're not exfoliating, but yeah, just to help make the skin less sensitive to touch. That's the point of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then scar tissue mobilization. This is, I think, like for most women that have had C-sections, the most horrifying thing.
Oh, man. But also so important. And like, truly, I feel like the bread and butter of what we do for C-sections. Exactly. So scar tissue mobilization, I think, is very important. And in this case is very beneficial for anyone who's had a C-section. This isn't something that I think needs to be started later in recovery. So same thing, as soon as the skin surface layer has healed, you can start really gentle mobilization or massage on your own. Or if you're so freaked out about touching your scar, you can wait until you can see a professional and teach you how to do it, which is usually between the 6 and 8 week mark. But just, it can start with really light massage, take a little bit of, once you're allowed to put lotions and oils on it, take some sort of oil. Coconut oil is a great pantry item that most people have. And gently do, just with the pads of your fingers, small circles over the scar to notice like, does anything feel tight? Is it not moving as well? Is there a spot on my scar that feels more sensitive than other places? And then as that, just every day, a minute or two on the scar, I usually recommend it after a shower. Once you can take a shower or at least get the scar wet, then it warms the tissue and makes it easier to massage and more comfortable to do the massage at that point. And then after 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks, you can start to do a little deeper massage. And then there's tons of tips online at this point. And we even created a blog for Juna that has more information on how to do true scar mobilization. But it's great for increasing blood flow, helping with tissue healing, and breaking up tight points to prevent adhesions from occurring.
I want to take a quick second to tell you a little about the Core Restore program that's part of the Juna app. If you have a mom pooch, lower back pain, pelvic pain, urinary incontinence, balance issues, or just generally feel like you can't regain your strength in your core, then Core Restore is for you. The Core Restore program was developed by Katie Hunter, the guest on this episode, to help you safely and correctly heal your pelvic floor issues. These are the same moves she works on with me in her office that I pay a pretty penny for per session. You can get it all in the app as part of your subscription, and your first 7 days are free. Simply search for Juna in the App Store and download the Juna app to get started today.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about adhesions then, what those are and what happens with them and how to fix it.
Yeah, and adhesion is where you have layers, right? We talked about during a C-section, they cut through different layers of tissue. So you've got skin, connective tissue under that, there's fat, there's deeper fascia, there's muscular fascia, and then the uterus underneath that. And what an adhesion is, where one or more of the, two or more of the layers become adhered to each other. And that will prevent the normal gliding of tissue on itself when you move, stretch, exercise, and use your muscles. So that is
painful.
It can be painful. It doesn't okay. have to be though. Yeah. Some people have adhesions and they're not really aware of it, or they don't know that it's because things are seen as because of adhesions, because you can have, it's called puckering of a scar,
right,
where it looks like an indent rather than smooth skin, like the rest of your abdominal wall looks, where, and that's due to adhesions, puckering. Yeah. But it can be painful. It doesn't have to be.
Okay. That's good to know. Let's talk a little bit about exercise then. Mm-hmm. When can you start exercising? And we can even go as basic as, okay, so we think you should walk the day you have surgery. Let's start from the basic things that you can do and then move on from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know after any major abdominal surgery in a hospital, the goal is to, like you said, the day you have surgery, to get up out of bed, standing and walking. And that's because there's just research to support there are much greater benefits to getting a person up and moving for circulation, for scar healing, for blood pressure, for all these different reasons. You need to be able to sit up, stand, and walk at least from your bed to the bathroom. That's the goal.
Right.
And that's like right after surgery. And I would say that's really the goal for the first week or two. Everyone's going to heal. Their time healing time frame is a little bit different. So I really encourage to go based on what feels good for you. But in those first 2 weeks, if you're moving from the bed to the bathroom, you're doing great. You're doing the most that you need to be doing.
Yes.
After 2 weeks, then I really encourage movement around the house, just bigger movements through the rest of your house between rooms, going to the kitchen, going to the bathroom, and frequently getting up and down to get your body used to that movement and used to stretching, especially around your scar. And then after 4 weeks is usually when people feel comfortable to take short walks outside around their neighborhood. And I really say keep it to, in the beginning, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you're not going very far. And you want to give yourself one or two rest days in between anytime you start something new, because you could have delayed soreness where you might feel great while you're walking, but then the next day or even 2 days later, you're like, oh, I feel like, I got hit by a truck. What just happened? And then exercise can usually be started between 6 and 8 weeks after you've been cleared by your provider to exercise.
And then what's your thought on like pelvic floor, Kegels, like core focused exercises for a C-section?
I think it's very important. The talking about like the initial conversation we had with the changes that your abs and your pelvic floor go through between pregnancy and delivery, whether it's a C-section or a vaginal delivery, those muscles in everyday life should work automatically. A person really doesn't have to think about using their pelvic floor or really using their abs unless some dysfunction occurs, which there are other reasons you can have dysfunctional cores. But for the most part, we don't think about it. So after pregnancy and C-sections, most people are going to need to think about how to use those muscles again and how to retrain them. There are signs that you'll see as you get back into exercise. Most of the time, it's like people will say, my core feels super weak. I used to be able to do things and I can't do the same things that I used to be able to do. Or you might see it present more in pain and problems where they're feeling lower back pain with exercise, hip pain with exercise, or just, I can't hold myself up. Those are the main things that I hear. And then bigger things like leaking. That's right. Another really common one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that happens too with C-section, not just vaginal birth. I think that's the other one that people are surprised about, is having any sort of incontinence. And you're like, look, it's delivery is not the only method for like stress on the pelvic floor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And including incontinence.
So what is the C-section shelf and why does this happen?
The C-section shelf is, that's related to the adhesion conversation that we had, and just also like extra skin and a little bit thicker fat pad than you had before pregnancy. So it's a combination of those things. It's what you see when the scar looks pretty indented and there is an overlay of skin that's like hanging over the scar itself that mm-hmm. they call the C-section shelf. So it has to do with adhesions, which is why scar mobilization is really great to start as early as you feel comfortable, and an extra skin.
So when someone has this, is it too late for the adhesions, for them to work through the adhesions with mobilization, or what do they have? What tools are at their disposal?
What can we do? Yeah. I don't think that it's too late, although mobilization is better to do early rather than later. When I have somebody who comes in months or even years after having a baby and they have a really adhered scar, I have still seen a lot of improvement in mobilization. I will also say those people tend to have more muscle dysfunction. So at the end of the day, my focus as a PT is to get them back to functional. And that looks to me like a strong core, a core that's activating properly during movement and exercise, and getting people exercising with free of symptoms. But I will say I'm less hopeful of what it's going to do aesthetically for a person after months or even years.
Got it. Yeah, that's a tough one. I feel like we get so many questions about that shelf, and our response is often, you can't, I mean, like, the, yeah, there's just, you can't out exercise that or even out diet that, right? Like, it's, there's a lot of other work to be done here.
Yeah. In most cases now, it is one of the burdens we bear as mothers.
One of the many.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why there's a whole conversation now about, we do to some degree need to embrace these changes our body has gone through, because we had a baby. You can't really expect to be 100% what you were before you had a baby.
Yes. That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last question is on the mommy pooch that kind of happens as well. That actually might be more related to diastasis recti, but if there's any correlation to C-section, let's talk about it here.
Yeah, I would say the mommy pooch concern is probably equally a concern for someone who's had a C-section versus someone who has had a vaginal delivery. The difference between the mommy pooch versus the C-section shelf is that one looks a little bit more just like a bulging abdomen, where it's typically most visible in standing. And it can be that the abdomen just looks rounder than it used to, or like the upper abdomen looks like it's really bulging out, or it could be the lower abdomen that looks like it's really bulging out. But I would say this is more traditionally like the mom bod that people see or expect to see after they have a baby. And yes, like you said, it is associated with diastasis. Although I think I have a different definition of a truly dysfunctional diastasis versus the aesthetic mommy pooch that people mm-hmm. are seeing. And we can get into that if you want.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Diastasis is the separation of one of the abdominal muscles called the rectus abdominis. And it's really an overstretching of the fascia that connects the rectus abdominis, which is called the linea alba. This stretching is totally normal. It happens in both males and females. It's not specific to pregnancy. It is how our abdomen accommodates for growth, whether you're gaining weight or you're bloated or you're pregnant. So diastasis is normal. What normal to expect, and definitely normal to expect at the end of pregnancy and early postpartum. A dysfunctional diastasis is when a person cannot, because of this overstretch of the linea alba, their abdominal muscles are not creating that tension in the abdominal wall in a functional way as they move and exercise. And what that usually looks like is, say, the most obvious example used is when a person does a sit-up mm-hmm. and you're laying flat on your back, you sit up. What should happen is the abdominal wall becomes taut and it draws in. So it's flat. If your muscles are not doing that, and it's partially because you have this overly stretched linea alba, then you go to do a sit-up and you're going to see a coning, which is like a tenting in the middle of the abdomen, or a bulging where just the whole abdominal wall is bulging out rather than being pulled in. That's a dysfunctional diastasis, in my view.
Got it.
Something that needs to be treated. But the mommy pooch is associated with that. So it's a sign of, oh, your abs may not be working to create the appropriate tension during movement. But other causes of mommy pooch that are not specific to diastasis can be poor posture. It can be just low tone of the abdominal muscles in standing, which is associated with poor posture. And then just overly stretched fascia and skin.
I'm laughing because as I'm listening here, I'm like hunched over. You're like, poor posture. I'm like sitting straight up.
Yeah. You're like, all right. I'm sure everybody knows that.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. That's something that's treatable with pelvic floor PT.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely the mommy pooch is much more treatable than the C-section shelf unless you catch it early. And there's lots of things we can do for improving muscle function, for improving posture, and just getting you stronger and using your core in the right way.
Awesome. This was a very informative episode for C-section. So thank you so much for your time and knowledge.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy to discuss this topic. I know these are big questions people have, and a lot of it now is having the knowledge early.
Okay, that's all for today. If you liked today's episode, please share it with a mama friend and leave us a review. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you can download the Juna app completely free for 7 days. The app is available for iOS and Android and is designed to be your guide for all things health and fitness for this very special time of your life. If you have any suggestions for episodes you would like to hear or anyone you think would be a great guest on the show, please email me directly at sarah@juna.co. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.